Right, now, I've spent this time. Now, I don't want to spend much more time on this, because this is all the negative side. But what I want to talk about now is the positive side. How I, as a young Christian, how I built my life. This is my testimony, and how I can say I now stand on the solid rock. A bit about myself, first of all. I won't go through the details of my actual conversion. It's quite interesting. But the fact is that I came to the Lord Jesus Christ 60 years ago. I came. Now, nobody, you cannot reason your way to become a Christian. Now, get this quite clear. And nobody can argue you into being a Christian. Our churches now are full up with people who believe they're born-again Christians. They're not. It's a personal relationship you have to have with your God. We can preach the gospel, we can show, we can pray for you, but it's that personal relationship you have with God. It's only when you come into his presence. It's like when you plant a seed, the seed of the word of God, you plant it. You water it with your prayers. Everybody prays, right? But you can't make it grow. It's only the Holy Spirit that can do this. And we're clearly told in Scripture that only the Holy Spirit can convict and convince us of sin. It's only when you come into his presence. There are many people who think that by going to church and doing good deeds and that makes them a Christian. Well, read what Jesus said in John's Gospel chapter 3 about Nicodemus. Now, Nicodemus, you couldn't get a better man than him. He was one of the leaders in the church. He went to church every Sunday. He gave the money. He did good deeds and everything. But what did Jesus say to him? Nicodemus, you must be born again. Everything we do, we've got to realize what we're like in our natural state. The doctrine of the loss of the lost doctrine, they call it, the doctrine of original sin. In our natural state, the scriptures very clearly state that in our natural state, we can never, ever come into the presence of a holy God. We're all tainted, we're all covered with this sin, with the disease of sin, every single. And he says, all our righteousness, all the good things we do are as filthy rags in God's sight. You cannot work your way to heaven. It's only when we come to God before him and we confess our sins and we realize where we are, that the precious blood of Jesus who died for us on Calvary's cross can cleanse us from that. Get this quite clear in our mind. It's the only, there's no other way. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the light. No man comes to the Father but by me. You cannot walk to heaven, they're saying that we teach the children. You're not by works, not how much you pray. It's only but when you come to the Lord Jesus Christ, like each one. So if this, I've been in many, many churches and many, many meetings like this, and there'll always be some people who think they're Christians because of what they do, because they come to church on a Sunday, because it's a nice atmosphere and such like. But it's not until you have that personal relationship with your God. You've got to there. It's like with, I think Noel was talking about this the other week, about Pilgrim's Progress. When Pilgrim came to the wicket gate there with a load of sin on his back, the load. It's only when he knelt at the cross, confessed his sin, and the load fell off. And that's the only way. There's no other way. You cannot come. If you're living under delusion if you try to think of any other way. But I don't want to spend too much time on that. Another time, perhaps. But my own situation then. I became, by the way, there was nobody else present. It was at night, and in the presence of the Lord himself. And it was then that I came into that living presence with him, and I became a born again Christian, a new creation. What did Paul say? If any man be in Christ, he is a new creation, something completely new. So what are you, a little baby? You're a baby Christian. And what does a baby Christian do? Yells for food for his mother, doesn't he? Or she, whatever it is. That's the first thing we do. And that's what I did as a Christian. Now, my background, I had no background at all. I'd been an atheist, and I'd never been to church. I had no knowledge at all. In fact, the only the times I ever went to church was when I was evacuated during the war, at the beginning of the war, that we evacuated us. And one of the strange conditions was that we had to go to church every Sunday. Well, what actually we did, we got ready and all dressed up, ready to go to church, and then pretended we were going, then went off and played, and then at the right time came back. Well, we got away with it for a while until one of the teachers caught us. He didn't go to church himself, mind you, but he caught us. And so we had to go from there onwards. But what we did, we sat at the back there and we had elastic bands and that, and just shooting pellets at each other, making a nuisance. And every now and then the sidesmen would come down and tell us to shut, you know, be quiet there, be quiet. But that's the only influence I'd ever had of church. I knew nothing whatsoever about the Bible. I didn't know the difference between the New and the Old Testament. We'd had one or two stories that were compulsory at school, but they meant nothing to us at all. We talked about Daniel and the lion's den and that, but really it didn't mean just went one ear and out the other. I had no background knowledge whatsoever. Now, the first thing I did when I became a Christian, I was meeting with the brethren, because they were the ones who'd I come up against, they befriended me. And so the first thing I did, I started to ask questions. I wanted to know the answer. Look, I'm committing my whole life. This is eternity here. I want to know answers. Now, I was shocked to find that nobody could give me answers proper. They said, well, you've just got to believe it. Nonsense. I wasn't going to do that. I wanted to know. And this is a shocking state today. Can you, I ask you honestly, can you give a valid reason why you believe what you do believe? Now, remember my background, because I had all this evolution and all this other stuff there. I wanted to know answers. So I realized very quickly, well, I'm not going to get any answers like this. But where does it all come from? Unfortunately, I think what happens, I think, this often happens with Christians, and then they go off. And it could have easily happened to me, and I could have chucked everything in. But I think the Holy Spirit, like a baby, he looks after. God has said he will look after us. We're his children. And I think that he led me. And he led me to read the Word, because I realized the only way I could get any information, any reliable, it must be in this Bible, which I knew nothing about. So the first thing I did as a young Christian was to get hold of my Bible, get hold of a Bible. I don't know where I got it, I think somebody gave me one. And I read it from the first verse right the way through, verse by verse. It took me 6 months to do it. Now, I'm appalled to find out there are many Christians who've never done this. This is your, what are your, all your beliefs, everything's based on there. I'm not going to ask you, but how many, I'm not going to ask you to put your hand on it, but in your hearts, how many of you have actually done this? I read it right the way through. Now, I had the whole story then. I got it all the way through. And it amazed me, because it's all new to me. I'd never heard it before. And I went right away. A lot of it I couldn't understand, of course. We go through Leviticus and things like that. And particularly when I got down to Revelation. But I read it and I had a picture of the whole thing in front of me. Now, the next thing I said, yeah, that's all very well. But how do I know that this is the Word of God? I mean, it could be like the Koran. Anybody could have written it. So I started to investigate further. And first of all, I realized that there was lots of names in it, strange names, Joel, Amos, Obadiah, Luke, John and that. Who were these people? So I began to investigate to find out a bit more about them, who they were. And I was amazed to find how different they were. They were completely different. They were a strange collection. There was a doctor there. There was a herdsman there. There was a tax collector. Everything under the sun, every type of people. But what was more amazing, they didn't all live at the same time. They were separated by over 1,000 years. Moses was right in the in about 1400 BC. John was right in somewhere around about 90-odd AD. Job could have been even older, we don't know, even though older than that, go back to over 2000 BC. What an amazing lot. As I went through and I thought about all this, all these strange people and all these things, but there's one thing that struck me. They all gave the same message. It all, the whole Bible, just knitted together. Now you think of the wonder of that, the fact of it.